Well, good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas. Welcome. So how's everybody doing this morning? That's Beard's the wrong color. I like it. Well, welcome to Revolution Church. We're so glad you're here. If there's anyone that's new, please come see me after service. I would love to meet you and just get to talk to you and get to know you. So today, if you would, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 2, and we'll be doing verses 1 through 12. So if you have your Bible, please open it up, or you can follow along on the screen. So after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people in Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Awesome. Thank you, guys. So, yeah, so today we'll be talking about the Magi, or more commonly known as the three wise men. So, this is kind of how we commonly kind of view them, right? But before we get into talking about the Magi or the wise men, I kind of want to give you some context around the scripture. I kind of want to let you know kind of what was going on at the time. And so to do that, we have to talk about King Herod, or Herod the Great, as he probably self-proclaimed. So Herod the Great was the Roman-appointed king of Judea. And so basically, he was the king of the Jews. So that's really how he liked to be seen. He liked to be seen as king of the Jews, as just all the people within his land. And so he was a pretty ruthless guy. And so he wasn't a holy king or any true king or anything like that, but he was just this king over this land. And many believe that he went mad late in his life. He even had one of his wives killed and executed, and even some of his sons, who he feared were going to try to like take the throne from him before his time. He had them taken out too, and so he was just he always felt threatened, and it drove him crazy. And so he was just this really ruthless guy. And so basically, Herod puffed himself up, and he wanted to present himself as larger than life. He wanted to be seen as this larger than life guy who was just one of the like best kings ever, right? He wanted to be seen as great. And so what you could really say, though, is he was just sitting on a throne of lies. So I think that this video that we have pretty much sums up who I kind of think Herod was at the time. So if you don't mind. So, yeah, that more or less sums up Herod, right? he was this, you know, fake ruler. He was just this guy who wanted to be seen as larger than life, and he just would do anything he could to keep his throne, even lie to a bunch of kids. So now that we have, like, a little more context around this, like, kind of a little bit of familiarity with Herod the Great, I want to get into what we're going to be talking about the rest of the time. So our text calls these Magi wise men, and basically what Magi means is members of a priestly caste. So these magi, they were, you know, they were philosophers, dream interpreters, soothsayers. They were skilled in medicine, natural science. So that's really what magi were known for at this time. And so they were, you know, really interested in astrology. And so their attention was definitely taken by the star that led them to Christ. That was something that they were just really interested in and really wanted to get to know more about. So they would look to the stars for answers. So they see the star and they just think, this has to be a sign. And so we don't know for sure where these men came from. We're just told that they come from the east. But most likely, a lot of Bible scholars think that they came from around Persia or ancient Babylon, around that area. And so you may be familiar to some degree with some Jews that were in ancient Babylon. Most notably was Daniel, because not all of them went back to Israel after they were able to leave. A lot of them stayed back, and most notably was Daniel, who was a prophet. And so Daniel wrote a lot about the coming of Christ. And he wrote, you know, a lot of, like, he was able to interpret dreams. And so the Magi, they would have had access, it would have been very likely that they would have had access to these scriptures, that they would have known some of these scriptures that we see in the Old Testament because of these people that stayed back in Babylon. So it's really amazing how God was just, even all this time ago, you know, using what could be seen as a hardship for his glory in the future. And so the Magi would have had their hands on, you know, different texts, Psalms, and as a result, you know, they would have most likely known prophecy. So in Numbers 24:17, we see it says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the people of Sheph. So what I really want to focus on there is a star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. So I think that this teaches us that not only were the Magi skilled in, like, astrology, and not only were they looking to the stars for answers, but I think that they were also on a spiritual journey. I think that they were also looking for something beyond themselves and looking for those answers. And they were looking to Scripture to do that. Today's focus, I want to focus on wisdom and why we call these Magi wise men and what that really means. So what they had done is they were looking to Scripture, and they were looking to gain knowledge through Scripture, and they were gaining their wisdom from that. And I think that this is what moved them to Bethlehem. God impressed upon their hearts, like, a truth from the words they read, and they were led to finding Jesus. They had read these ancient scriptures, these texts from that time, and they weren't just reading it, but they were gaining knowledge from it. They were gaining wisdom from it. They were beginning to understand more of who God is. So what's really interesting to me here is that the Bible doesn't mention their names. And I think it's because really they weren't too concerned about being known. They weren't too concerned with making their names known to the people. And so they knew their names didn't matter. Like, all that they simply wanted to do was encounter Christ and begin worshiping him. That's what they were concerned about. They weren't concerned about saying, oh, hey, Mary and Joseph, we traveled hundreds of miles to be here. We're so glad. Hi, my name is. And then making it known or making a grand entrance and saying, hey, here's these gifts we have for you. Now, you know, let us in and let us chill here for a little while. No, they just wanted to encounter God. And they knew that God was in Bethlehem. And this star led them to Jesus. And so that's what they were concerned about. And they traveled so far. They traveled through deserts, you know, they traversed, you know, over through mountains. They had probably faced, like, you know, potentially thieves or just, you know, different hardships along the way, because it wasn't like you could just call Uber and say, hey, you know, can I get a ride to Bethlehem? Be here in 10. All right, great. No, that wasn't around yet. So we'll just give it a little more time. So, but it was worth it, wasn't it? I really think that they believed it was worth it. And I really think it was worth it that they traveled all this way and risked so much. Like, Herod wasn't a nice guy. He even had his own sons killed. So they were risking so much just to encounter a child. That's just amazing to me. So what's really interesting to me is that even today, 2,000 years later, we still have wise men. We still have people seeking truth, seeking knowledge, and gaining wisdom from Scripture and coming to know Christ. So Proverbs 16:16 says, "How much better to get wisdom than to get insight, rather than how much better to get wisdom than to get insight." How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver? Sorry about that. So it's almost prophetic, isn't it? Like, I wonder if they were thinking this as they were giving their gifts over to Christ. How much better is it to encounter you, Jesus, than to keep this gold? How much better is it to be with you? James 3:13 says it like this: "Who is wise and understanding at you? Let them show it by their good deeds done in humility." Who is wise and understanding? Oh my goodness. "Let them show it by their good deeds done in humility rather than from wisdom." Sorry, we had a problem with the slides this morning. I'm sorry about that. What's really interesting to me is just the wisdom that they were receiving, that they were seeing just how far they were willing to go to encounter Christ. And I really think that the wisest moment in my life was the moment I came to Jesus, right? I really think that a lot of us can say that the wisest moment in our lives is the moment that we encounter Christ and that we truly encounter him and truly begin to understand him and like let God's knowledge and his wisdom seep into us. So, and honestly, like I really can't take all the credit for it. When I came to Christ, when I came to know him, I really don't think I can take all the credit for it. So much of it was, I really think, through prayers of my family and my friends, the people in my lives who were influencing me and leading me along this journey, just breadcrumb after breadcrumb. Quite honestly, it was probably bread loaf after bread loaf every now and then, right? It was probably more in my face than I'd like to admit at times. But nonetheless, God was leading me to him. He was leading me to learn more about him, to understand him, and to gain knowledge about him. And he was just giving me this wisdom for him. And so I want to take a minute to recognize the gifts that the wise men had given. You know, we said that that they had given them gifts. And so I really think that there's a lot to it. It wasn't just some simple gifts. Because, you know, like when I was a kid, I remember like maybe the first or second time I heard or read the scripture, I heard gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I thought, gold, hey, that's awesome. I take that. And then frankincense and myrrh, I was like, what is that? Can I just get more gold? Is that an option? But these gifts were very much prophetic, and I think, as we'll learn, very wise gifts. So the first gift is gold, right? So in a lot of countries in this time, no one could approach a king without presenting a gift. And gold was, you know, considered this like a royal gift, like you would present gold to a king. And so the gift acknowledges Jesus as a king. And, you know, since we can never really meet Jesus on equal footing as the Magi did, you know, we should always, like, just bow in submission before him, because that's what the scripture said they did, right? They bowed before him and presented these gifts. And so we have a gift that was meant for a king. And honestly, the gold is pretty foretelling, because what does scripture say? It says that it tells us in advance that Jesus is going to rule and he's going to reign, that he is a king. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And basically by doing this, the Magi were saying, this kid, hey, you're our king, not you, Herod, right? And so just the risk that involved that to begin with, and they were bowing in submission to him like you would a king. But also this gift is just like foretelling, because, you know, God had already determined that he was going to bring his son out of Egypt. If you go to Matthew 2:15 or in Hosea, you'll read about God bringing his son out, or God bringing him out of Egypt. And it gives a reference to that. And so I would imagine that's not a cheap trip, right? That would be pretty costly to get to Egypt, to get back home, to do all this that they had to do isn't going to be very cheap, right? So this gold was very significant because it helped them in their journey that God had already told them that they're going to go on, and it showed them bowing in submission to their king. So that was gold. So what's the next one? Frankincense, right. So if you look at the word frankincense, you'll discover that it's like a priestly kind of gift. It's a gift that Or it's something that a priest would use when in the temple because it smelled, it just had a really sweet smell to it, this really strong, really good scent. And so the priests would have it and they would use it in the temple and it would, like the scent would just lift up to God and it would go to God and it would be pleasing to him. So they're giving this gift that priests would use, right? So far we have a gift that's meant for a king and meant for a priest. And so if you look through the book of Hebrews, you'll see that it tells us that his priesthood is permanent. If you haven't read Hebrews, I really encourage you to read it. It really does a great job of paralleling Christ with some Old Testament scripture and giving an understanding of him as a priest. It's pretty amazing. So far we have a gift that's meant for a king, a gift that's meant for a priest. And what's the last one? That's right, myrrh. I found that, and I was like, I have to. Actually, my wife found it. Kristen showed that to me. I was like, that's going in there. So myrrh is probably like, I don't know, to me, the most scary of the three gifts, because what myrrh is used for is it's a substance that's used to embalm dead bodies. And it symbolizes bitterness, suffering, and affliction. And right from the time Jesus was a child, we're being reminded of the sacrifice that he's going to bring to us, that he's going to do for all of mankind, not just for the Jews, but for all of mankind, for the Magi included. So it's a pretty amazing gift that, like, at Jesus' time as a child, he's being given these gifts. And I think a lot of you would probably say and assume, and you'd be right to, that these gifts were prophetic, right? That these gifts were given because God had already foreordained all this. But I want to also argue that as much as they are prophetic, it was the wise men's wisdom that led them to give these gifts. They knew the scriptures. They knew, like anything we see in the Old Testament, they knew that. They had been raised with, they had been taught that, they had learned it. And so I don't think that it's completely by accident that they had given Jesus these gifts. If you look to Isaiah 9:7, it says, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So it wasn't any new news to the Magi that Jesus was going to be a king, right? That's why they brought the gold. As prophetic as it was, they brought the gold because they knew Jesus was going to rule. He was the King of Kings, right? So they brought this to him saying, you're our king. We know this from the scripture we read, from the text that we've learned growing up with. You're going to be our king. All right, so what about the frankincense? Well, Deuteronomy 18:15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. So it's not a coincidence that they brought him something meant for a prophet, meant for a priest, because that's who Jesus was, and they knew this. They had learned all of this in time. And so the last one, myrrh. Myrrh. But wait, there's myrrh. So it says, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by him his wounds were healed. Prophetic or wise? So it's just pretty clear to me that these Magi, they knew what they were doing, right? They knew going into it what they were bringing to Christ, and they knew who Christ was. They knew he was a king. They knew he was a prophet. They knew he was a priest, and they knew what he was going to do for them. He knew that he was this child. I can't imagine looking at this child, looking at him in the face and saying, you're going to die for me one day. Like thinking that, like knowing like how powerful that would be, knowing that this kid is going to sacrifice himself on my behalf, on your behalf. That, I don't know, that really shakes me to my core. Like, I can't imagine just meeting Jesus as a child, this innocent child, and saying, thank you. right? So the story shows us the wisdom of the Magi. You know, they encountered Christ and they immediately worshiped him. They didn't take, you know, they didn't question it. They didn't meet this kid and say, I don't know, that kid's, yeah, that's not what God would do, right? Like, that's not him. Like, they didn't travel all this way and then immediately doubt. They didn't travel all this way and then assume that God had led them astray or that maybe this wasn't the right star. Maybe we just read the stars wrong. No, they knew, and it wasn't just because of astrology. They knew this because of Scripture, because of the wisdom that God had instilled in them, because of what they had learned, because they had studied the Scriptures. They had taken the time to learn about God, to understand him, to understand his will and what he's going to do in their life. So they didn't question Scriptures. They just simply worshiped him. And I think that's so amazing and something that maybe sometimes we get caught up in, right? Maybe sometimes we do question the Scripture, which is okay. Like, you want to test it. You want to ask us, like, if I'm doing something wrong or if I'm saying something wrong, call me out on it. Please have a conversation with me. Let me know how it can help lead you better. But they didn't question this. They just simply worship God. And so how often do we get caught up in that? And how often do we just choose not to worship Christ because we're too caught up in the details? They just simply worshiped him. And so I don't know. I love that. And if you look back to Matthew 2, if you look back to the verses in verse 11, it says that they gave sacrificially. And we see that through the gifts, right? Gold's not cheap. So these were gifts that they, you know, they knew it was better to give these gifts than to hold on to them. They wanted to sacrifice for Christ because they already knew, looking at this kid, what he's going to do for us. Why would we not do for him? And it was also through their wisdom that they were able to give themselves over to him. Verse 11 also says that they fell down and worshiped him. That is just so amazing to me. I mean, how many of us could imagine just falling at the feet of a child and saying, you are my God, you are our King. Well, we worship you, we pray to you. So this is what worship involves, isn't it? I really think that it involves just giving sacrificially, like just simply worshiping, just being, worship is simple and straightforward. And worship means sacrificing as we give back to God for what he's given us. And it's a pretty cool time of the year to be reminded that, isn't it? And worship involves giving ourselves as we fall before him and we give our adoration, our praise, and our surrender, and our just absolute worship for who he is and for all he has done for us. And so I just simply want to leave you with this. I just want to ask you, how are you seeking his wisdom today? On a day that we remember Christ, on a day that we recognize his birth, that we recognize the miracle, as we learned about last night, the miracle of Jesus, how are you seeking his wisdom today? How are you making room in your life to take time to read Scripture, to pray, to understand more of his character, to understand more of who he is? Because I have no doubt that God can just, boom, instill wisdom on you right there on the spot, right? And give you the clarity. But, you know, time and time again through Scripture, whether it's in the New Testament or Old Testament, we read about people who took time to learn about God, right? And that's where the real knowledge and wisdom was gained, because they took the time to sit down with God, to pray to him, to read his Scripture, and to begin to understand him more. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you so much for today, for just the absolute miracle that today is, that we even just get to celebrate this. Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice, for understanding just how much we needed a Savior. Jesus, we ask that you continue to bless us in this time, that we just get to focus on you, Jesus. Put you on the forefront of our minds. Put you just on as our focus today, that we just get to gain more wisdom about you today, Jesus, that we get to take the time to learn more about you, to see you, to truly understand you, Jesus. We love you. It's in your name. Amen.